Hey everybody, today we're gonna talk about talking. You know, I don't like being told what to do. So when I first entered the senior care realm, when my family members were aging and I had to respond, I was hit with all these articles and information about talking. We must, we have to, we'd better. Foreboding, looming messages about talking. Well, who wants that? Truth is, I didn't really understand that we needed to. So don't tell me I must, because a must turns into a should. And damn it, I hate shoulds. Well, suddenly I was faced with a had to. Oh boy, that was not fun. And those they people, the helpful people that had encouraged and cajoled and who told me I should talk, I had to admit I was there. I was past the shoulds, and now I was into the had to. Not happy, and there was precious little time for talking. I had an inkling of the why. I could see some needs right in front of me, but I didn't really know how. So I'm going to cover some of the whys and hows in the next two segments that I share with y'all. And guess what? It's not all gloom. Now, I'll admit that the why we talk, does have some logic, but you know me, I'm going to talk about the positive, so stay with me here because there's some very good things that come out of this talking stuff. Do let me touch on the why a little bit because there's both opportunity and choice here. And who doesn't want opportunity and choice in their lives? In healthcare, and I guess in any kind of care talking, before the how should always come the why. So why talk? Well, because we must, or we should, or we better, or it would serve us well. Think about what I just said. We must, we should, we better, or it would serve us well. Do you want to come from a place of should, must, or I better? Or from it'll serve me well? Really? There's another reason we might talk, and that's because we know it's time. Now, I use the word know, spelled G-N-O-W. It's a kind of a cross between gnawing and knowing. It signifies those times when something is gnawing at us and we know it. It's gnaw plus know. Have you ever felt that? Well, I've been somewhere between no, G-N-O-W, and that famous phrase, if not now, when? When I found myself sitting in the camp of had to, I was really wishing that I had pursued that it'll serve you well approach. From that uncomfortable spot, I realized that many of my options had become limited at that point. The time was nigh or short, and that I had a big fat feeling that I didn't know what I needed to know in order to get where I needed to be. I was caught short, not comfortable. Why don't we talk? Well, at this point, I'm going to stop and pass around that plate of fudge. As many of you know, fudge stands for fear, uncertainty, doubt, guilt, and exhaustion. Something I've talked with y'all about before. So as the plate goes by with fudge, help yourself to one or more pieces. When I talk about talking, there's a lot of fudge. And there's a lot of I don't know what I don't know. And that is where I work most often, right there. I hear patients and their loved ones saying things like, things are okay, really. We're managing. No need to bring that up just yet. Or, I want to talk, but they won't talk with me. And they could be family or loved ones, even medical providers or your insurance company. I also hear, we don't know what to do or where to begin. So y'all know these two things. If there's a sudden healthcare crisis, it may not be possible to be fully prepared for everything that comes your way, but you can know that I and others exist to assist you. Okay? And because talking is important, and so often we don't know how to start, I'll follow up today's segment with a segment on how to begin and offer up some tips. In fact, I've been known to title posts, blogs, and presentations just that, crafty lead-ins to difficult conversations. So stay tuned. In everything that we read and hear, the benefits of talking are extolled, yet many of us do not talk. What if I told you there were gifts? So let's shift from the should. Let's get to the good. What if I told you there were gifts in this talking thing? Let's flip this whole talking thing right now. Cast aside your shoulds or you betters and even the no, G-N-O-W, and let's focus on the good stuff. Let's simply talk about talking. I'll begin with a story and one that delivered gifts. One of the gifts I got was insight. The gifts are often hidden inside talking and conversations. It could be a simple time of grabbing a cup of coffee with a friend, or it could have been a break, a timeout, a breather from my work day. Or that talk could have been a networking opportunity, or it could have been a nicey-nice little sit-down, or it could have been one more thing I gotta do. But I've found gifts inside talking. As I talked with friends, I realized that many of the benefits that come during conversation, talking is filled with gifts. There could be a shared experience, some commiseration, or some same paging. There could be exchange or an update, the learning of something new, even a revelation, the putting yourself in another's shoes, or that feeling of validation that when somebody puts themselves in your shoes and they understand. I don't know if this has happened to you, but it sure happens to me. Many times the solutions appear right inside of the talking. Yeah, I may learn solution from somebody else that's had a similar experience. Great. But sometimes neither of us have had this new set of circumstances. And as I'm talking, an option comes to mind and out of my mouth. And I realize, oh, here's a solution. Something to try. Something to explore. Hope. Hope is a gift. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been having an exchange with a friend or a professional or maybe even a complete stranger? You know, it could be from listening or from being listened to. You know, the act of soundboarding often does the trick. Obtaining a different perspective or looking at something from another vantage point often provides an advantage. Advantage, A-D-D, vantage. Sorry, y'all. You know how I like to make up words because sometimes they do a better job of what I can muster from conventional language. So I use G and O for no and turn soundboarding into a verb. And now advantage. Please bear with me. And I appreciate your support. As a professional in healthcare or a service capacity, and in my case, patient advocacy, you'll hear me continually encouraging talking, encouraging conversations. And there's so many topics to talk about and all kinds of conversations. In my advocacy work, we're sure to talk. Have y'all heard me talk about the pie? Those of you who spend any time around me, or maybe you're a client or a loved one of a client that I'm working with, you'll know that we talk about six pieces of the pie: medical, legal, financial, housing, insurance, and support. Lots of talking to get to that place of knowledge, of power, and of good decisions. I love to have pie with people. Then there's the fact that talking needs to occur often and all along. Topics or even check-ins, this stuff should be evergreen. Revisit important talks. End one conversation by agreeing that there's going to be a next or another or a series of conversations. There's no one or done to a lot of things in healthcare or elder care or all care. Prime examples of this notion can be found in planning for care. As people change or as circumstances do, there should be lots of talking in and along all stages of the game about housing, for example, or about advanced directives. Then more talking as we come to know more about the decisions at hand or as we learn to assess ourselves and what we really want and how we're going to go from here. The revisits are so important. Another example, a legal one, is revisiting your legal documents relative to your wishes and doing that at certain intervals. For instance, I encounter people who've prepared our wills. They did it 3 grandchildren ago. Or I've designated my agent with power of attorney for healthcare. Did it in 2006. But that person is no longer the best person to serve. There's an elder law attorney who lectures where I live. He says he returns to his own legal documents at a regular interval. They talk about and re-up and revisit. He says, we do it every election year. Whether the situation changes or not, it's important to continually talk. Doing so can confirm that things are set up the way you want them to be. And there's power in that, and there's peace. I have the great honor and pleasure of talking to so many people as they get their gifts inside talking. Conversations about housing, or how to find a doctor, or how are the medical systems in Omaha? Where do I find the best rehab for Dad? What happens in a knee replacement? Or what am I going to need going forward? I can't resist the opportunity to throw in, when I'm talking about talking, some really corny shtick that I use to usher in talking. Or when I'm telling folks about what I do, or when I teach. I'll often say, so as to get their attention and diffuse talking apprehension, that I help people meet the Deweys. You know the Deweys. There's who do we, what do we, when do we, where do we, why do we, and their cousin how do we. And after an easy laugh, we all go on to talk about whatever the matter is before us. So next time, in part 2 of this talking topic, and because plenty of people ask me for information on this, we're going to talk about difficult situations, tricky lead-ins, how to start difficult conversations. We're going to learn how to go get those gifts. And because y'all know, I'm all about bringing the solution. Thanks, everybody.